We're turning tonight to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, as we began 2 weeks ago on the topic codes for correct communication. Ephesians chapter 4, codes for correct communication. Ephesians chapter 4. I think all who are considering the culture in which we live would recognize that when it comes to interpersonal relationships, these are interesting times. As I was preparing my heart for sharing some words this evening, I thought about saying we're seeing an increase in interpersonal strife. But then I thought, no, ever since sin came into the garden, there's been plenty of interpersonal strife. Cain and Abel, after all, were just one generation removed from those who walked in the coolness of the evening with the Heavenly Father when He walked in the garden. Ever since sin came into our world, there have been challenges with relationships. But I do think those who are observers of a Western culture that has primarily been foundationed in America on principles from God's Word, we are in America seeing increases in violence, certainly an increased divorce rate. And sociologists look at these problems and they have all kinds of reasons for it. Some say it's because we move so frequently. The average American family now moves every 3 years. Some say, well, it's because we have become an urban culture instead of an agrarian culture. We're not living rurally as we once did. And so the family structure has been impacted. And I'm sure all of that is true. Some say, look at the violence that we're facing through visual imagery, both on the internet and television, and certainly it's going to come out. Some of the games that young people are playing by way of video games are brutal beyond anything anyone could ever imagine. All those things, no doubt, impact how we relate to one another. But absent the control of the Spirit of God, there will never be peace. But with the control of the Spirit of God, those things which characterize the old man can be put off. Amen? And we can live lives that please the Lord, put off therefore the old man and put on the new man. That's what we find as we open our Bibles this evening to Ephesians chapter 4. In sin, Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of God. And in sin, men and women continue running from the presence of God and running from one another. Ephesians 4. I'll get it right. Ephesians 4. We're going to read beginning in verse 25 through the end of the chapter, and we're going to do it aloud together, if you will, and then I'm going to give you a test. Why not? It's Wednesday night. We won't grade you too badly, or at least embarrass you too badly. But Ephesians chapter 4, let's begin aloud together in verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed in the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We started on this 2 weeks ago and I gave you a challenge. Can you remember the five rules? If you do, write them in. There's a blank there for each one. If you learn those rules, write them in. I'll give you a hint. The first one's at the top of the outline sheet tonight. Rule number one. You're missing the word be, but you got that one. So you've got a 20%. You fill in two more and you'll get a 60%. Some people pass high school on 60%. I'll give you a moment. I'm especially waiting for Tony Garrett over there to get done.
Nothing, brother. Just want you to lead the class for us, if you will, Tony. Here they are. You'll remember them. The simple stated rules, and I hope you will review them. They're pithy and they're convictional. The first rule, be honest. Be honest. Keep short accounts. The Bible says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Be industrious. Be industrious. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor working with his hands that he may have to give to those that are needing. Rule number four, attack the problem, not the person. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And finally, act, don't react. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If you weren't with us 2 weeks ago when we began this brief series on codes for correct communication, we noted that Ephesians 4, 25 to 32 really is written in a very logical format as the Spirit of God shares what I believe to be the most significant paragraph in all of Scripture on interpersonal communication. If you're asking the question, where do I go to learn how to communicate and cooperate with the power of the Spirit of God as a new man in Christ? This is the passage. And all of us need to know it well. And we all need to be willing to be drawn into account toward this passage. How many there are who say when they explode, well, that's just the way I am. But the Spirit of God wants to change the way we are. And He does that through the use of the Word of God. Sanctify them by Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. And so as we become familiar with God's Word and hide it in our hearts, we will not sin against Him. So here's the logic of this passage. Very memorable. In Ephesians 4, 25 to 32, it always has something to remove. After that's removed, something that the new man wants to replace. And then the reason is given. It's a very reasonable list as we look at this text together. Wherefore, put away lying. Get rid of it. Speak every man truth. Replace that old foul tongue with a true tongue. Why? Because we're members one of another. Be angry. This is some people's favorite part of the verse. Be angry. That means righteous indignation. That does not mean an explosive, irrational, emotional loss of control. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your emotional, irrational loss of control, your storge, your wrath that is of the devil. Why? Because if you don't keep short accounts, you'll give place to the devil. Wrath unforgiven leads to bitterness. Let him that stole steal no more. We pointed out last time, this is in the center, and we're going to spend a week on it, how important it is to be industrious. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands. Why? That he may have to give to the one that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that you may minister grace to the hearer. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another. So something to remove, something to replace it with, and a reason given. This evening, we're going to focus just on that first rule. Did you all get all that filled in? Everybody's okay? Because I don't want anybody getting mad with me tonight. Don't want any explosions here. I'll give you just a moment more. What's that? No righteous indignation either. If you have questions on this, Lee Williams got his all filled in. See him in the foyer afterwards, all right? We're moving on. Honesty is foundational. Society simply cannot survive without it. Without it, there can be no contract law, no treaty, no marital vows. That's why James is willing to say, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. The first rule for righteous speech is be honest. Be honest. Many of you, along with me, have been following things that have been happening just recently with the Middle East, things that have happened in Egypt, things that have happened in Libya, statements now being made about it. I was reminded every time things like this happen, I'm reminded of Genesis 16. In Genesis 16, the Bible tells us of that first son of Abraham, Ishmael. And God said, Ishmael will be a wild man. We look at things that are happening and say, this isn't rational at all. Somebody exercises what we think to be a norm, which is freedom of speech, even putting together a video clip that's demeaning to Muhammad, and somebody's getting killed in the Middle East. Where's the rationale to that? Now you're beginning to get it. Genesis 16 says, Ishmael will always be a wild man, and no man will be able to reason with him. When it comes to the matter of honesty and transparency and truthfulness in culture, I'm asking a question here right out of the box tonight, if you will. Where do we read of the first lie in the history of the world? I'm hearing it. Satan, where? In the garden. And what did he say? It began with dialogue. Yea, hath God said? Dialogue that led to doubt. Hath God said that you can't eat of this fruit? And the doubt led to a destruction of what God had truly said. For Eve does not even quote what the commandment of God really was. And then that lie, you will not die, but you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When we come to this matter of being honest, in order to be honest, this passage says we need to be removing lies. Remove lying. Ephesians chapter 4. Remove lying. According to research data, in a book, an interesting book entitled The Day America Told the Truth, Americans are consummate liars. Here's the way this book was put together. Those who were putting together the book America Told the Truth promised all the people being polled that they would remain anonymous so they could really answer exactly as they felt would be honest, answer truthfully. And so the pollsters promised anonymity to the respondents, and they found out that 91% of Americans say that they lie regularly. 91%. 1 in 5 said that they lie every day. They can't go a day without lying. And only 31% of Americans believe that honesty is the best policy. Remember when the Apostle Paul said to Titus, I'm going to send you over to Crete. I'm going to leave you there in Crete that you may set things in order and ordain elders in every city. Then he said, now the Cretans themselves say, their own poets say, this island culture filled with liars and slow bellies. They were lying and they were lazy. We don't live in an island. We live on a continent. But we live on a continent that is self-confessedly full of liars. Lying is embedded in the American culture. Those who study such things say men lie more than women. Young men lie more than old men. Catholics lie more than Protestants. And both Protestants and Catholics lie more than Jews. The poor lie more than the rich. Maybe you can give me an amen on this last one. And liberals lie more than conservatives. That's the truth, according to the studies. The truth is, we all wrestle with this matter, and we're going to take our Bibles and turn to the book of John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Every lie, after all, is a violation of the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not bear false witness. In John chapter 8, our Savior is speaking to the religious rulers of His day. And in John chapter 8, he says in verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar, and he is the father of it. Every lie shares a common source. Every lie is inspired by Satan. Satan is the father of lies. It's always God's will that you and I tell the truth. And he's repeatedly told us that. In Leviticus 19, we read in verse 11, "You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie to one another." In Proverbs 19 and verse 5, "A false witness shall not be unpunished." Turn with me to the book of the Revelation, the 22nd chapter, the very last page of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. In Revelation chapter 22, the Bible tells us about the inhabitants of heaven. Verse 14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates into the city. For without," verse 15, "are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers." The word sorcerer there, many of you are familiar, is the word pharmakia. It speaks to those who are involved in illicit substances. "Whoremongers," involved in immorality. "Murderers," without. These are those who have no entrance into heaven. "Idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." No entrance into heaven. In 1987, the Washington Post magazine found that 92% say that they lie to save face. 92% say that they lie to save face. 98% say they lie because they don't want to hurt others. Churchill said, "There are many people who are perpetrating terminological ineptitudes." Did you catch that? That's a good way for Churchill to say, a lot of people are lying. You can call it so many things. Fibs, half-truths, white lies, embellishment. God calls it all sin. Okay, how truthful are you? How truthful are you? I'll give you a slide tonight. You'll enjoy this. Everybody always says, of course, "What a beautiful baby." Seriously. Is that always true? By the way, that's our new granddaughter. Isn't she a beauty? My wife's not here tonight. She would be just so embarrassed that I put this up here. What a beautiful baby. I was taught in seminary. It's one thing I took away from seminary. When you go on a hospital visit to see a baby, you got to be honest because you're in the ministry, right? Man, I've seen some things. Isn't she beautiful? It's a baby. That's what I was taught to say. Thank you, Lee. You're supposed to say, "Now that's a baby." By the way, that's a little bit better. Her name is Priya Hannah. 7 pounds, 9 ounces, and 20 inches. She's pretty good looking in that picture. The first one, though, is I got a kick out of it. Like, whoa. Huh? She's sleeping. That's a lot better, isn't it? Priya means beloved. Each of our grandchildren, through Rachel, she's married to Joseph Singapogu, and they each have a first name that is Telugu. And so our granddaughter Asha, that name means hope, and Priya means beloved. And Kiran, which is our grandson's first name, I have no idea what it means. I just call him David. I don't even know how to spell these things, but we're very thankful. So that's where my wife is this evening. I just had to get some way to get that in tonight. I probably spent 2 hours this afternoon thinking, how am I going to get a baby picture into this slide presentation this evening? I am so glad. And tell my wife I did that, will you? That'd be really nice. When she gets back on Monday, next Wednesday, you let her know that I got those pictures in there and all will be well with me at home. Lying's intentional deception. And sadly, we become ingenious in ways of telling lies. Help me out here a little bit. Can you think of some of the ways even Christians tell lies? I mean, you wouldn't bold-faced straight up tell a lie, right? Right? But what's that, Karen? Not telling the whole truth. Connie said it. Exactly. That's a way to lie. Don't tell the whole truth. Just the part that you want to get out there. Now, we want to get convicted here. It would be funny if it wasn't so sad. But we do shape truth, don't we? Barb? Thank you for that testimony tonight, Barb. We appreciate it. Yeah, we do that all the time. How are you feeling? Oh, great! No, you're not. Come on. Although that's sometimes better than the alternative, right? Which is an organ recital that, you know. No, we need to be honest. I was saying to somebody tonight, I've always enjoyed Wayne Van Vlieman. He's the only fellow that I've ever met. When you say, how you doing, Wayne? What's he respond? Mostly good. Mostly good. That's good. It's honest and it's positive. Mostly good. Larry. Wow. They never call back. Wow. Yeah, that's right. How about the Christian parent who says to the child who answers the phone, tell him I'm not here. Yeah. You know, it's so sad, and it really should step on our toes, and so prevalent that people will actually exaggerate. And in the evangelical community, it's not a fish story. Exaggerations in the evangelical community are called speaking evangelistically. That's a terrible thing. Speaking evangelistically, in other words, some are so good at fish stories, even in sermons, that people say, ah, not really. Take it with a grain of salt. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And the father of every lie is Satan. And every time you exaggerate, you fib, you white lie, every time we manipulate the truth, we're on the wrong side. And we're actually destroying that which is essential as truth bearers to change a corrupt culture into a culture that God would have us to enjoy, where we can trust and honor and respect. That's how foundational and fundamental it is. But it's become so much the norm that we seldom even get convicted about it. Be honest. Why? Because in order to be honest, we must understand, Ephesians says, respect the truth. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth. In order to be honest, we must respect the truth. We respect the truth. John 17 and verse 17 says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. A lie in the garden destroyed man's soul. A lie in the courtyard condemned Jesus to death. And when a Christian lies, he joins the world system. And I want to emphasize this, if you will, in our hearts tonight. He or she becomes an untrustworthy messenger of the world's most needed message. James says it this way. Out of the same mouth comes that which is polluted and that which is clean. Does that happen with a fountain? You don't have polluted water and clean water coming out of the same fountain. How then can you be a messenger of truth if your mouth has become unclean? In order to be honest, we must be reminded of the reason that truth is essential. Wherefore, putting away lying. So in order to be honest, we remove lying. In order to be honest, we respect truth, its value, and its personage. In order to be honest, we remember the reason. We are members one of another. We are members one of another. My father is diabetic, 2 shots a day, and he has been on shots probably for 30 years. And now he's suffering from something that many in this room are familiar with, diabetic neuropathy. Not pleasant. He can't feel his extremities, which really puts him at risk. He has risk of infections. He has to specially care for his feet. Why? Well, he has got a member. He's got members that aren't communicating. And when members don't communicate, it's very dangerous. Well, I'm not going to tell the truth. I'm not going to be a challenge to that person. I'm not going to exhort that one, and so much the more as we see the day approaching, because it's really not worth the risk. But the risk is compounded when truth is not told. Chrysostom, who said, if the eye sees the serpent and does not deceive the foot, if the tongue tastes what's bitter, it does not deceive the stomach. Since we're members one of another, we're not to lie. We ought always to say everything, ought we to always say everything that comes to mind? Well, often we lie by saying nothing and let somebody headlong move into horrible error. But there is balance here. We have a responsibility to tell the truth if we are messengers for God. And so if we see someone heading toward the pathway of destruction, and the Bible says in Ezekiel, we don't warn them, their blood is on our hands. But there is also a complementary principle where perfect love covers a multitude of sins. And so walking in wisdom, if God has given me a message that has to be shared, I have to share it. But there are some things that kindness says, no, he doesn't need to know that I'm thinking that. And walking in the Spirit. But walking to tell the truth. To tell the truth. Here's some goals to put before you, and we'll be dismissed this evening. When we meet together tonight, we were asking, can you memorize those five goals? When we meet together next week, can you memorize the passage? Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for remembers one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. These are worthy verses for us all to memorize. Next week we'll look at what it means to be angry and sin not. But I hope that you'll be able to come in and say, I think I know those verses, Pastor. Hey, if you didn't get the five principles tonight, work on those for next week. Work on this. Principle number one, I've got to be honest. Not manipulating the truth, but telling the truth. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We pray that you would help us to exercise wisdom as we walk before you with perfect hearts. And Lord, we indeed do pray that you'd give wisdom right now to those who are leading our nation and cause us as a people to remember, to realize, to recognize that the time is short and the judge is at the door. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.